Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. Friday, November 24th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence, heard live every Friday morning, 9:15 to 10 a.m. on the station, repeated on Wednesday and Thursday from 3:15 until 4 p.m. and Sunday morning, 8:15 until 9 a.m. Go to the website, WWGH1071.com. It's the first show under Program Archives if you want to listen to old episodes or the current week's episode. And you can go to Facebook, usually within 24 hours of this program, and get the episode there. And nothing fires people up more than talking about Ohio State, Michigan in certainly Ohio and Michigan. And that game, of course, is tomorrow. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you had a great one. We certainly did. And today is Black Friday. Wow, I'm glad I'm not out there.
You know, I passed by Walmart's parking lot this morning, and it was packed.
You know what? It was. And you know what? I heard they sold out of everything in an hour except for the Michigan shirts.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I can believe that. I can believe that. The store is empty right now.
No, I don't know. The Walmart in Marion, I don't know how well they'd sell there. But anyway, you know, it's interesting you bring up the Ohio State-Michigan game. And, you know, sports in general tickle me because none of us, other than the people on the field, have any skin in the game.
That's true.
And it's amazing to me what we've generated in this country, because the amount of money that's generated and the amount of money that people pour into something that the players will never know who you are, the organization will never know who you are. You are literally what we call a fan. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's interesting because I went to Ohio State and I was there for 5 years. And to be honest with you, the students, 70% of them could have cared less about the athletics. I mean, you had people who went, but most of the students couldn't afford tickets. Most of the students didn't get involved in the pep rallies. Most of the students were actually there for their education.
Yeah,
it's and the people who I often wonder, because the people who have Ohio State rooms and things of that nature, I say, well, how many years did you go to the school? Never.
Well, although they are. You may have never gone there, but I will say this. All of our tax dollars have supported that university forever. I mean, that's where we support it. Our tax dollars is where that comes from. So if somebody wants to support something they pour their tax dollars into, power to them.
The problem has always led to the question that I have about the place. Is it a football team that just happens to be a school, or is it a school that has a football team?
You know, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things I disagree with about some of the current educational process. I will say that. But however, Ohio State leads the nation in so many things in its educational part of that university. Equine Science, they have done unbelievable great strides in animal surgeries and just things that are worldwide. And in so many other things that they do. Yeah, it's definitely a university with a football team.
Oh, no, it's a great school. All I'm saying is I think if you took all the publicity for everything you just said and all the publicity about the football team, you'd fill that in a thimble compared to what the football team gets during football season.
Oh, sure. We're a sports-oriented society today. People live and breathe sports. Now I notice that even in our travel ball teams, whichever one, all kids play travel ball today, They get these championship rings that look like the guys, the ones with the Super Bowl, these great big gnarly things that the kid can hardly hold up in their hand. And I mean, we're just so hung, we're so caught up in that type of instantaneous achievement that you know, there's no room for a long growing process. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, I think the money is also a big problem that people see in that particular situation, is the revenues that the coaches are paid and the revenues that are
spent. Players
are
paid.
Well, okay. Now, yeah.
It's crazy. You know, I look back at, who was it? Mickey Mantle, I think it was. I saw a picture of him the other day working at his off-season job in between, you know, and back then they had to when they first started. I mean, eventually all those guys made good money and did pretty well. But, you know, the thing is that today, my word, if you get taken in the draft in football or immediately, you're sitting okay. You're doing okay.
Well, it's interesting because we were having the discussion earlier and had a little bit of it off air there. We can run down Ohio State's coaches, and no coach has ever left either on their own or without a scandal. All of them. Since Woody Hayes. Paul Brown was the last one. Woody Hayes hit the player on the field.
Okay.
Earl Bruce was fired. John Cooper was fired. Jim Tressel was fired. Urban Meyer certainly had a scandal going on when he was there. And, I don't know why that is.
Well, I think, honestly, let me tell you my opinion. I think that what Ohio State does is they seek such a high level of coach that most of the time they find a pretty good coach. And because of that, they do pretty well. It's kind of hard to find. Okay, to give you an example, Earl Bruce and Jim Cooper, you know, they didn't have a scandal.
No.
They didn't do very well. So that's not true. It wasn't all under scandal. It was under, there's two of them that left because their records stunk.
Well, I think it was interesting, though.
But by Ohio State standards, they stunk.
Well, Earl Bruce was. He just couldn't get along with management. His records were not horrible.
No, he was usually a 9-14.
Yeah, yeah. And Cooper was not horrible. Cooper had won the Rose Bowl, I believe, in the three previous years. They just based it all on the Michigan game and said he did not put enough emphasis on that game. And Ryan
Day. But
it's
still record. It's record oriented. Ryan Day may be in trouble.
Ryan Day might be looking down that same hallway right now.
But again, it's hard to tell. I don't know. We just put so much on this. I'm excited about watching this game. I'm anxious to see how it's going to go and what it does. It's going to be. I don't usually get too totally excited about too many games anymore, because you know, here's the thing: when they lose, they've lost. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my bottom line. I'm going to get up the same way the next morning. I'm going to do the same thing I do every day. I'm going to go on with life. You know, so, you know, you have a team you root for. It's great to have that. But if they lose, they lose. I mean, when I was a young kid and I followed Ohio State really heavily, I would get depressed when they lost. And I thought one day, how stupid.
Well, I won't even watch the game because I'm just not a big football person. But the interesting thing to me about this particular game tomorrow is how it's all been set up. There's going to be major repercussions either way, because but Ohio State's got more to lose here, because if Michigan loses, Michigan will say, listen, our coach wasn't allowed to be there. We were penalized. We won the last two. That's what Michigan will say. And that's pretty much all that's going to happen on that end. If Ohio State loses, then they're going to have to, well, we've lost three in a row now. Also, we lost after saying they stole our signs. Well, why'd we lose this year? Their coach wasn't even on the field. And also,
well, I'll tell you one thing Ohio State's going to have a hard time with, Scott. And that is that just like when they come into Ohio State, going into Ann Arbor, that's going to be a loud, crazy.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have trouble hearing plays and calls. And you know what I hope? And I hope this in that it goes both ways. I hope and pray. I am not very happy with officiating that I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years in professional football, in college football, and in high school football. We used to have a time when most of the time our officials, you obviously saw that they tried to be even-handed. And today, just sitting back, because I'll watch games that I have no desire either way, and I'll see stuff that is just mind-boggling, and why we're not holding some of these guys more accountable for blatant. I mean, one guy can barely nick a helmet, and he's called for targeting, and another guy takes somebody's head off, and they don't even call it. And you know, they look at the replay, and, well, he wasn't, you know. And to me, I'm more concerned about good officiating than I am about anything else.
Well, you know, the greater question here, where I was going with the coaches of Ohio State, and it certainly has been other coaches too. Certainly Joe Paterno could fall under this. Bobby Knight could fall under this. But the question is what is it about people's character where we love them? We think they're great. They write books. They do personal appearances. They do things for kids in hospitals. And they do all that. Absolutely, they do all that. I was talking about Woody Hayes never cashed a check for a charity, a speech he made. Yes, it's all great. Nobody's taking any of that away from them. But in there's just a flaw in a lot of coaches along the way that lead to the first paragraph of their obituary, that this was the major story of their life?
Well, I'll tell you why, and it's pretty simple, and I think it's our fault as much as anything, is we put too much faith in people. Men are fallible. Men make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And I guarantee you, you've made a mistake that you really wish nobody would know about. I don't know what it is. What I'm saying is, Scott, that we all make mistakes. And when we start holding people up as an icon and as putting on a pedestal, that's the problem with a pedestal. You know, you fall off or you get knocked off, one of the two. And everyone's going to make mistakes. And that's why, you know, you have to be very careful when you're in a position of authority or a position of influence, that you don't let people put you too high on a pedestal, because at the same time everyone's wanting to hold you up, I can guarantee you there's someone looking to knock you off.
Well, certainly everybody in their life is going to have some kind of flaw, and everybody has made some kind of mistake. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in these particular cases, you know you're high profile. You know your story is being covered in the national news. You know you're in national
news. You're in a glass house.
Right. That's when you don't want to make those fallible mistakes.
But we're people. We do.
Right. But I just think, you know, if Woody Hayes is on national television, which he had been many, 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 many times, that's not the time to punch the player. And I think...
How many times do you think he punched players in the locker room?
I don't know.
Probably quite a few.
He could have. So,
but he was a very, very, very emotional man. And no, it's not the time. But it just, you know what that shows me? It shows me he's human. He let his emotions get a hold of him. He's not a robot.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, I think that at some point you do have to be aware of your surroundings. And I think that's why a lot of people don't do certain things in public. You know, you will find a lot of public people do not go out in public and do those things, like get lap dances. You should know better than to do that.
Well, you know what they say, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And when you're in that position, you're in the heat. And if you're someone that's going to be fallible, of course, someone... Now, obviously, you just mentioned Urban Meyer and his lap dance.
And not the only one, though.
No. What I'm saying is that, you know, he obviously is a man that is very intelligent, right? Wouldn't be where he is if he hadn't. Obviously, like you said, you would know he's in a bar full of people. No one's going to see that, but you see, the thing is, people get caught up in the moment. And here's the problem. They say that absolute power absolutely corrupts. You've heard that before. I think the more that men get held up and held up, they start building an ego that they almost feel like they're untouchable, in a sense. And they begin to not realize that how many eyes are on them all the time watching them. And it's very easy. Heck, if they can go 5 years without doing something really stupid and getting called out for it, they're doing pretty good. But eventually, you know, and another thing is too, is that you can put on a show all you want for a long time. Eventually, true character always comes out. I always say this about people when there's a story out there that's a falsehood or a lie, you know, the truth always ends up surfacing eventually. It may be 5-10 years, but the truth eventually comes out. Truth has a funny way of rising to the top.
Well, this is where I think people care too much about what other people think. Because what I have always found, and certainly not on the level of Ohio State football coaches, but if somebody writes something about me that I know is untrue, I don't answer it. Because I figure people are either smart enough to know what is true and what is not, or if you want to believe that, that's fine. Just do some research. If you don't want to do the research, then I'm not going to go out there and try to correct it. And I think that's what these coaches, when we're talking about Ohio State, have particularly done, is they've tried to overcorrect sometimes. And that's what the whole Jim Tressel thing was, saying, I didn't know. If he had not said anything or said, yes, I did know, I think he would have survived that.
I think these guys get in a mode of damage control, and they create more damage than if they had done the damage control. I remember several years ago, there was a mayor in a small town in a suburb of Columbus that got caught doing some lewd acts on the freeway. Okay? They immediately went. The reason I know about this is because these meetings were held in a business where I worked, because I was, it's a long story, but anyway, I had an earshot to the meetings. And they talked about how they were going to do this damage control. And they're basically going to take the lady that had seen all this and reported it, and they were going to smear her to a point and talk about how this mayor was just, you know, impeccable in his church and everything else. Well, I told them after the meeting, I told one of the principal people there, I said, look, this is going to come back real hard to bite you guys if you sweep this under the rug. Because if this man is doing this stuff, he's got some real problems that need addressed. You know, you just do stuff like this. Well, they went ahead and played their own game, and they smeared this lady, and he kept his position as mayor, and blah, 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 and down it went. About a year later, guess what? He got caught doing lewd acts in another place in front of a bunch of elderly people, and then they all had mud on their face. And the point is, and you said this when we were in our off break, you said, if you do something, come clean. You know, it may be hard at first. It may be hard to weather the storm at first. But you know what? Everyone's going to know that you admitted your mistake and you came clean.
Well, our mayor, and whether you like or dislike Mayor Schertzer, one thing I will give him credit for, and he says it a lot, and he said it a lot over the years, is he says, when you make a mistake, get out and tell it first. Don't let other people tell it. And these people don't do that. And not only don't they tell it first sometimes, they tell the exact opposite, which they know not to be true. Nixon did it. Tressel did it. And many other people, who knows, maybe Harbaugh is doing it right now. This is the fatal flaw.
It is. And how do you... And here's the thing. We have become so lax in what we think of personal character in this country that here's my thing. If you're caught in that situation and you're obviously dishonest, you lied to you betrayed everyone's trust, you did that stuff, and you don't admit it, okay, you don't admit it, why in the world then do you reward somebody by giving them another high-profile job, be it in the NFL or in something else? They should... See, that's the thing. If there was accountability for what we do today, which we have such a lack of, if there was accountability, they'd be less likely to, you know, I better come clean if I'm going to save my name and get back on track. But, you know, hey, I can go out here and lie all I want, and I can lie about it. Fire me. I'll just go get another job the next day. Well, who in the world is on that search team that's going to hire a liar?
Well, the interesting, you know,
a lot of people.
It's funny you bring this up, and I will admit freely that one of my favorite coaches of all time was Bobby Knight. And a matter of fact, when the NCAA bracket used to come out for March Madness, I would always pick Indiana to win, knowing they would never have a shot to win in later years. And people would say, why are you picking Indiana? And it was really about Bobby Knight. And when he got fired, and he was fired from Indiana very heavily, within a year, he was hired at Texas Tech and had a job, and I'm sure probably paid better, and he was happier for what went on. See, that's the problem that you create. If you build up somebody, which Indiana did, and the story of their firing is also a big story. Now, Indiana can't hire them back because they look like hypocrites if they do. But any other school out there that needs a pick-me-up, because Texas Tech certainly was not in the March Madness prior to Bobby Knight. First year he's in, they're in March Madness. So there you go.
Well, I see that, but what I'm saying is we're not looking at integrity anymore. We're not putting integrity in high regard. Someone can lie, and, you know, yeah, believe me, I'm all about redemption and people working their way back. But for there to be no consequences for deception and for some of this stuff and for lewd and crude activity and stuff, for crying out, what are we telling our young people?
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't know what the line is. I was thinking about this. It's weird we're having this conversation, and I certainly wasn't thinking about famous people or well-known people, but I was thinking about person-to-person this morning. And, you know, it's funny, because if somebody is considered to be nice, if I say, you know, Matt is a very nice person, well, that's my perception. That's my relationship with him. He could be awful to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not like him. And that's hard for other people to understand. Well, no, he's very nice to me. Yeah, he is very nice to you.
Never done anything to me, right?
Never done anything to me. But he's not so nice to them. And right. people can't wrap their mind around that. I can, honestly, and it doesn't make me any better than anybody else, but I do that a lot. There are people who I look at, who I say, you know, I really like that person. And they go, oh, I can't stand them. And I said, that's your relationship. They've never done anything to me.
Wow, that's a, now, man, you're really taking us down a road. I'm ready to chase a rabbit all the way around.
Well,
the
it's an interesting conversation.
Well, here's the thing. I guess it depends with me. You know, if it's a matter of personal like and taste and not liking somebody, I can say that they've never done anything to me. But if there's evidence that they're a creep, and what I mean by that, they've done some really crude stuff or they are not a good person, I'm not going to say, hey, I like the guy. They've never done anything to me because, you know, because that shows on my character that it doesn't really matter to me that they're a peeper or,
No, no, no. I think that's a different thing. What I'm saying, the other day, Wednesday, this happened with somebody, and it happens with politicians a lot because they are well known. What happened was the person who was around when that politician was around off the air said, what did that guy ever do when he was in office? He had one of the most horrible records. And I said, no, I was around when he was in office. And I said, you know, he did this, 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 and this, and this. Well, you know, I forgot about that, but he was still a horrible person. I said, well, you know what? He's always been good to me. And that person could not understand why I would like them as a person. They just didn't, and I get that they didn't like him. And maybe there was something personal there. I don't know. But people do have different perceptions of people.
Oh, absolutely. If they didn't, you know, we'd all be married to the same person.
Right, but you know, but it's not, if you like them, that's no big deal. I can hear you criticize somebody I like because I still like them. But the problem is when somebody is critical, the person cannot stand that if you like them.
I think here's where I'm at with that, and I'll just use my personal example because that's honestly all I have.
Yeah.
Is if I know something good about someone and the only thing I'm hearing is a negative, I find that offensive because I know the good and I don't want the only opinion out there to be the one that is the negative. Does that make sense?
Well, that's true. But, you know, recently, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, but, I know, and again, this person's not committing crimes or doing anything like that, but the person was not particularly nice to me. And that's fine. Everybody has their perspective. But obviously, somebody else likes that person, thinks they're a great person. And I have no problem with that. Like them. I'm not going to tell you not to like them. But if I say anything negative about them, in truth, they don't like to hear that. And I think that's unfortunate because I'm just telling the truth.
That's a pretty common practice.
Yeah.
And I think because a lot of times people have their own perception and they don't want it messed with.
Right, right. And that is strange to me because I think that's just holding two thoughts in your head that, yes, this person's been very good to me. Maybe they weren't so good to them.
You know, the Bible tells us to live in a way that no one can say a bad word about us.
There you go.
And if you strive to do that, like, for instance, if all the guys sitting here in the room right now would think that I was the nicest guy in the world and they never seen anything to make them think any differently, and then some Joe Blow would come walking up and say, man, that guy's a piece of garbage. You're going to say, what? You know, and what that essentially does, it shuts that person down. And that's the kind of life we should try to live, the character we should try to have. And that really is your best defense when you're out there in the world, especially if you're a public figure. If you always try to weigh your responses, you weigh what you do against what's the right thing and what isn't, what's honest, what has integrity, eventually people are going to know you as a person of integrity. And that even if you maybe if you came from a place where maybe you didn't show much integrity, over time you will... You'll get it back.
Well, you will always overcome it, is what I have found, because even if people do say negative things and write negative things, all you have to do is look at the grand scheme of things, and you say, well, why is that person still surviving in that position? Why is that person still being asked to do things that people consider honor? Because what was written isn't necessarily the truth. And that's what I worry about in this Jim Harbaugh situation. And again, I don't know hardly anything about Jim Harbaugh. But I will say this, until I see the evidence, I cannot say that he knew it for sure.
What we can say is that we do know that he already served one suspension at the beginning of the year for dishonesty.
Right. And in that situation, I think there was evidence put out that something was going on in that. But I don't understand. I just can't and I wouldn't have convicted any of the Ohio State coaches until the evidence is out there. Because Joe Paterno, I remember that. And that was a heinous thing, what went on with Jerry Sandusky. Heinous.
Very, very heinous.
But until I knew for sure that Joe Paterno knew, I couldn't say that he did.
There was so much swirling around for so many years about that that it would have been have to be pretty blind if he didn't.
Right, but he was old. He was not even on the field a lot of the time. And was that the university's mistake? That this was old Joe Pa and he really wasn't coaching the team all that much anymore? Maybe it was. But when we finally learned that, yes.
What a shame, though, you know. What a shame, though, that he went down in that manner.
Statue torn down.
Well, and you know, can I honestly say rightfully so? We have a obligation to vet the people around us in positions of power. And there were enough red flags on Sandusky that the buck had to fall somewhere, it had to stop somewhere, didn't it?
Well, and I think it killed. I mean, Joe Paterno did die of cancer, but I'm certainly under all that pressure in his age, certainly didn't help the illness.
No. What a sad way to go out. I thought it was very sad how Woody Hayes went out. I mean, you said, you know, he was redeemed a lot of ways, but when you mention Woody Hayes, anyone that has a memory of that time, I'll be honest, the first thing that comes to my mind is that image in my mind of him hitting that Clemson player. I mean, I watched it. I was watching the game.
Well, that's what's and hopefully they live a long time, but it'll be in Jim Tressel's first paragraph no matter what he does. It'll be in Urban Meyer's first paragraph.
Not Jim Tressel's. I'm telling you, it won't. I'll tell you. And this is one of those things where I like Jim Tressel, and I don't think you do.
Anyway. No, I don't know Jim Tressel. I just I'll play you the clip sometime.
I've seen so many positive things from Jim Tressel. Sure, he's got an ego, but my point is this. I think that Jim Tressel has lived a very measured life since he left Ohio State. I think that he's been he's remained very upbeat, very positive. He's tried to do honorable things since he left, and maybe that's a repair back. But what I'm saying is that when I think of Jim Tressel, I always thought, you know, him not being honest about the pants, that's a sad situation. He's, you know, like I said, we all make mistakes, but we should own up to him, which we brought that up too. But the whole thing of those pants and some of those violations were just crazy anyway.
But I want to say about Jim Tressel, though, because he's been on in the last year, and it was a great interview. He was fine, perfect, had no problem at all. And a matter of fact, he was more open in that interview than the first interview. The problem I had, and it's just, I guess it just, you know, after you do 10,000 hours of interviews, not much sticks out in your mind. But that quote will always stick out in my mind that he gave me. Not that he didn't give me an answer. People have evaded answers before. That he's not the first person to ever do that. It's the way he evaded that answer that I was just giving
him. What, you need to do more research?
No, that here I'm asking you, do you regret anything that you did at Ohio State when it came to what led to your demise? And he said no. And he said, I don't think your facts were straight on that. And I said, well, tell me what the facts, because once you deny it, you're saying that, no, you don't regret it because my facts are wrong. Well, tell me what my facts, what did I say that was wrong? He couldn't do that. He just said, well, no, I think you just need to do your homework. Well, then don't say my facts are wrong.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
And that's the only problem I have with the man.
If it could have went so deep that you guys would have had maybe he didn't have time in that interview for what he'd had to get into. I don't know.
But wouldn't you want to, clearly he did not like being asked that.
He didn't want to be on the national news either. And I'll tell you something, Scott. If he would have dropped a bombshell in that interview with you, it would have been on the national news that night.
It would have, but he also just could have said no comment. He also could have said, I can't speak about that.
That's probably what he should have said.
I think so.
Okay, and that's surprising because Jim Tressel has a history of very measured answers and thinking before he speaks. And that surprises me.
You know what I think, and I'll move off it, but you know what I think happened? Because it was a live interview, and he stumbled over the second part. I think he'd never had anybody press him. I think he'd never had anybody say, well, then tell me what the facts are. Because you could tell he got very... Well, I just think you better do your homework.
No, I think he's been pressed before.
He seems so off because during the whole. You're right. He is very measured and he is very concise. And it was like he was off on the back foot. Like he expected that I was going to accuse him, and I didn't. I just said, where I'm wrong, tell me.
Maybe he felt you were coming from an accusatory point, and he didn't want to get in a fight.
Maybe.
I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. And you know what? No matter what it is, it's not going to affect Scott Spears one bit or Steve Whitaker one iota.
No, and again, honestly, the last time we spoke, which was long after that, last year, fine. And he came back on the show, so he wasn't holding any ill will.
Yeah. I saw a thing him yesterday. He was doing an advertisement with Maurice Claret. You know what I look at Jim Tressel, and when I think about him, the thing I find endearing in him is his relationship with his players that he continues to have, and he was a person that tried to really be there for them regardless of what state they were in at the time.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
It was not all about numbers with Tressel. It was about personal character. And so many of those guys, and I've been to a different events where some of them have spoke about their relationship with him and how he treated them, and I found that character very, very important. I think the best coach in the world is a coach that coaches the whole person and not just the ability.
Well, you know what's funny about all these people? We went down all their bad traits, but talk to Woody Hayes's players. They will tell you he was like a father to them. Talk to Earl Bruce's players, like Art Schliester, who he stuck with through many, many, many...
Yeah, but you know that it was Earl Bruce that took Art Schliester to Cider Downs and got him gambling to begin
with.
There
you go. See? Because we all have our faults. But, you know, he stuck with him for year after year after year and defended him and would not... Until the very end, Earl Bruce stuck with him.
I imagine Earl felt a little bit guilty. Because, you know, he took Schliester under his arm and was taking him to Cider Downs with him and got the gambling bug started. Not that it might not have got started anyway, but, you know, he probably felt a little bit of personal responsibility for that.
Well, and then John Cooper, who most people regard as not a great coach there, his players loved him.
Yeah.
And Urban Meyer, same thing. As you said, Jim Tressel, same thing. And I'm sure there's a Ryan Day factor there, but I will wonder if they lose tomorrow what will happen with Ryan Day. So
that's Ohio State fans aren't going to tolerate another loss. I can just tell you that. I don't care what record Ryan Day
has. We're split. Everybody's split on this. Because I say what you're saying. We agree on this one. I think he's gone if he loses tomorrow.
I don't know about gone, but, man, there's going to be a lot of...
off-season talk.
Fix it or else.
That's right. You got one more shot here. I don't know if they can take a turkey.
Hey, I don't know.
Three losses.
I can't either. But, you know, the thing is, both of these teams have been high-level programs. Very, very high-level programs. And the intensities of it's been great. I don't know. Let's talk about something else. How much time we got left?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes. But, you know, it's an interesting thing just to the degree that, you know, if you are a losing team, which Michigan was for many years during that Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, they lost to Ohio State more than three times in a row. But when you're a losing team, people, okay. But they played good during that game. The problem is Ohio State's coming with an unbeaten record. And they've done that a few times and then lost that game. And that
this
is what puts
be
the
a
pressure.
Tough one.
That's what puts the pressure.
And
on.
The last one was in the horseshoe.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that just is a Ryan Day better have something up his sleeve. But like I said, I hope that it's a clean game. If one team is going to really beat the other team, I want to see what happens ability on the field. I don't want to see you know, a couple major players go out on some bogus targeting call or something. That, you know, I don't, and I hate to say that because I have the highest respect in the world for good referees. I think they take heat that's unfair. I watch it at the high school level. You know, the stuff that's yelled at them, I think it's wrong. I think it's terrible. But at the same time, the governing bodies that govern those referees in all levels of sports need to say, pull them aside when there's blatant stuff and say, look, you're missing this, or what in the world happened here? And there needs to be some, there needs to be some accountability for some of the blatant stuff that we see. And it just doesn't, it seems to be there used to be, but there's not so much anymore, and I don't get it.
Well, you know what's interesting to me, and I don't know if people like Dennis Miller or not, the comedian. I think
I do.
Yeah, I like Dennis. He's great. Funny guy. And he said something one time that I thought was great. He had made, I believe it was Barry Goldwater, old politician who ran for president in the 60s, and Dennis Miller came along, and Barry Goldwater had married a much younger woman. And Dennis Miller, as a comedian, made a joke about Barry Goldwater's much younger wife, and gold digging is basically what gold digger, Goldwater. You know, that basically that was the joke. And Dennis Miller was being interviewed about this on the show, and he said, you know what? What happened, interestingly enough, not too long after that, the daughter of that woman came up to me at a party and said, do you know how much you hurt my mother? And he said, I didn't even try to be coy about it. He said, listen, I'm in the business of making these jokes. That's what I do. But you know what? That probably did hurt your mother, and it probably hurt you, and you probably shouldn't like me. And I think if we had that type of honesty in life...
Well, shouldn't we? Shouldn't
yes.
We? Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the truth.
And we just... I don't know. I think that our society really needs to pay a lot more attention to honesty and the importance of it, the importance of why it's important to be honest with everything. I'm going to take the last 5 minutes or so, and let's. I'm going to reboot. Hang on, let me replug in this mic. Okay,
yeah, we go.
I just rebooted. We're back over the fence again. It was Scott and Steve, and here's the deal. We had Thanksgiving yesterday, and I hope that our people saw grandparents, great-grandparents, elderly, and if you know someone that's alone and that maybe they didn't call them, because I know myself personally how hard it is to watch people that don't have any family, that don't have anyone coming around, that to look out the window and say, when are they going to get here? When are they going to get here? And they don't show up. They don't show up. And I've seen that. And, you know, whether young people are so busy going in so many directions today, doing so many things, I don't think they realize that many times when people get older and their lives slow down, they look for those things. They have so much more meaning to them. Are they going to be there? Are they going to be there? Are they going to be there? And it's so important that, you know, we need to be thankful for our family, for our heritage. We have so much put all that on a back burner. And it's important to know where you came from. You know, I love knowing about my ancestors and what made me who I am today. Our faith and our family and where the whole role God has taken in that. And, you know, all that comes back to that thing of personal grounding, Scott, that makes you who you are and gives you that contentment and that ability to understand and have empathy for other people. But when we're flying around trying to find anything to make us happy 24 hours a day and always need an outside stimulus and that's all we care about, it leads to a hollow time.
Well, it's interesting because I think yesterday a lot of people did get together, but one of the conversations at my Thanksgiving was, do people still do this? And I don't think they do. I think when people, you know, when I go to restaurants now, people aren't talking to each other. They're looking down at their phones.
Should people still do this?
Oh, I think they should.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's a very important thing, and I think it and people have grounded it so, and I'm not saying don't be around your family, because I was around family yesterday, but I don't think you always have to be just around your family, and I think that's what causes a problem now, is that, oh, geez, you know, I see this person all the time, and I really wanted to do this, but I don't want to do that, because that's going to make that person angry.
Share a meal with them, man.
Yeah.
share a meal with them, talk about what blessings they have in their life. You know, I did something the other night. I do pizza with a pastor twice a month at the church and have teenagers come in from a lot of different schools and places. Everyone's welcome. Some nights it takes a lot of pizza. But anyway, I asked them all that age-old question last Sunday. Yeah. I said, take a minute and think, what are you thankful for? And I got some good answers from those kids. And, you know, one thing I was happy about was the some of these kids are really thinking. You know, they're not all saying, oh, I'm thankful for the new Nikes I got last week. You know, and they're not all doing that. And, you know, it's great to see. I'm going to tell folks, we still have some good kids out there. But I got to tell you something. You got to nurture them. You got to give them opportunity. You got to help them. And show them character through your character. We can sit on the show or anywhere else and preach character all day long and being honest and all these other kind of things. But if they don't see it in us, and see, that's what, not to jump into that last conversation again, but, you know, that's what bothers me when some of these people are fired for dishonest. And I think there needs to be some type of a road back, not instantly being hired by someone somewhere else and making more money. And you know, it's like it didn't really matter that you were a liar.
Well, but have you ever heard, and this happens a lot in the workplace, have you ever heard somebody in the workplace who's teaching somebody to do a job, they'll be screaming and yelling at somebody in front of that person, and then they'll turn around and tell them, always have a calm head. Now, wait a second. Well, you've blown that right out the window, because they're looking at what you do.
Yeah, you're right. They always look at what you do.
More than what you do. You know, can talk all day long.
The age-old parental thing, do what I say, not as I do. That's baloney. It
always
really
has been.
Because then you learn by doing as I do. Watch what I say, listen to what I say, but do as I do. And if you're not willing to teach in that manner, you're going to lose them.
Well, how many times have we heard people, once they are grown people, they'll say, you know what, I took that person as a role model because they did such and such and such and such. They never say, they told me such and such and such and such.
They did.
They did. And that's it. That's the key to it.
Exactly.
And it's hard to walk the walk, and I think that's why people don't.
Well, it's hard to walk the walk, but here's the thing, Scott. We have to desire to walk the walk above personal things. Like today, I could make it. I'll give you a good example. How much time?
About a minute.
I could leave here today, and I could say, what would Steve like to do? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to this store. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go have some fun for the next 2 hours. Or I could go home and I could say, you know what, this is the day after Thanksgiving. My wife worked very hard putting food together for 2 days and doing these things. It's going to be a quiet day. I'm going to go spend some time with my wife. Now, my kids are going to see both things. Which one is the best thing for them to see? And see, that's the type of decision. Not that I'm some great guy, because trust me, I'm not. She probably wants to kill me half the time. But the point being that this is what I'm talking about. You know, you have to make decisions to do the right thing, not necessarily, you know, the fun thing.
And that's it for this week.
God bless you guys. Have a good week.
For holiday fun. For the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, singing the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide cake.